Welcome to another truth-telling segment of Absolute Truth. Absolutely. This is your host, Gio. I am the youth leader for LWIM in Miami, Florida, which stands for Living Word Youth Ministries. I invite you to check out our page, lwim.org, my WordPress website or blog, whichever you'd like to name it, uncompromisedtruth.wordpress.com, and also my Twitter page, Giovanni DC, at Giovanni DC, JIOVANNEDC. Well, we have another episode, and I'm glad that we are able to gather, that you have downloaded this podcast, and also because you have a hunger. This shows that you have a hunger for the truth, and we hope that you were to adopt the things that we speak on this program, of course, not without first examining them thoroughly to see if they are true. And if they are, we hope that you would, because we believe that these are things that provide us with life, and they come directly from biblical instruction. So we hope that this inspires you also to share the truth with others so that they too may be free, just like Jesus says in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, we have spoken before on this very program about undertaking efforts, personal efforts, to eliminate that which is superfluous from our lives, especially coming from entities that they deal in the business of specious arguments and falsehoods and sentimentalism and emotionalism. And part of this very select group that does it with excellence, might I say, but also does it for a big profit margin, is Hollywood. Hollywood is an expert at propagandizing. I think I said that right. Propagandizing. They are experts at inculcating that which is corrupt, perverse, and spreading it like a virus throughout society via its entertainment value, like they call it. And when you focus in on the content of these motion pictures, and you try to bring some sort of accountability to the people that write these scripts, to those that direct it, the actors, the things that they're playing out, they say it's entertainment. That's their scapegoat. That's their excuse. That's their justification, their pretext. It's like the silliness, the stupidity. When one time they tried to corner Jon Stewart from The Daily Show, and many of the egregious things that he says there, I would dare say 95% of the things that he argues on that show are dead off. One time he said, well, it's entertainment, it's comedy. Notice how they hide themselves behind that category, because they know that they've been caught. They know that they've been caught red-handed with their attempts to indoctrinate others, but they hide behind the, it's just comedy. So that people's guard would not be up when they are examining, when they are listening to what he has to say, and others, of course. Hollywood does the same thing. They're experts at promulgating, at disseminating corruption, but they do it in an entertaining fashion. And therefore, people, many people, they do not have their guard up whenever they go see a major motion picture, whenever they, and this is also applicable to other industries, for example, the music industry. You hear them. You hear the young people say it all the time. I've said it before. You have probably said it also. I like it because of the beat. I like it because it's got a very interesting rhythm, very pulsating rhythm. But when you listen to the lyrics are death. And the people that run these entities understand this. They understand that people, most people, are not very good at examination, at discernment. And therefore, they can throw in all of that perverse material, and most wouldn't even give it a second thought to actually analyze and examine what it is that they are digesting in their system. Well, interestingly enough, as we have spoken about this in the past, I began to read an article. It was linked by the Drudge Report on a new book that is coming out on September 9th. Need I say, this is not in any way, shape, or form an endorsement of this book. Please do not take it as such. I have not read the entirety of the work because it has not been released yet. And that's why I am taking caution here, and I'm asking you to throw caution to the wind, because the book has not come out yet, but there was an article which has excerpts of this book. And as I read this article, It only shows to prove what we have spoken about on many different occasions, and it is that Hollywood is an entity that has been used and it is still continually used as an agent of corruption in our society, in our culture. This book, titled The Collaboration, Hollywood's Pact with Hitler, it is being written, or has been written rather, by Harvard postdoctoral fellow Ben Irwind, and it, quotes, uncovers a darker side to Hollywood's past, unquote, and I will put up the link on my blog, uncompromisedtruth.wordpress.com, to this article so you can read it in its entirety. And these are just, like I said beforehand, excerpts from the book. But interestingly enough, this man takes an in-depth look at the past association, maybe even present, God knows, between the Nazi Party, Hitler, and Hollywood. Somebody might say, Gio, you are totally off kilter. You just said present association. Well, the ideologies that are present in many movies are an offshoot of what the Nazis believed. It's the truth of the matter, whichever way you look at it. So the spirit, if you will, is still there. That argument is still present of Darwinism, social engineering, Malthusian concepts, Hitler's concepts in Mein Kampf, of course, and others, Karl Marx, whatever the case may be, Lenin. Remember Lenin, he stated at a point in history that he wishes he would have had Hollywood because it would make the spreading of his ideology much easier. Hey, his wish came true. Now, in this article, again, excerpts from the book, he notices how Hollywood was a direct collaborator, or rather, I should say, was a facilitator for the Nazi Party to advance their cause. Gee, what do you mean by that? Read the article in its entirety and you'll see what I'm talking about. But for example, I'll read certain passages. It says here, quote, indeed, collaboration, in its German translation, Zusammenarbeit, is a word that appears regularly in the correspondence between studio officials, Hollywood studio officials, and the Nazis. Although the word is fraught with meaning to modern ears, its everyday use at the time underscored the eagerness of both sides to smooth away their differences to preserve commerce. It continues. The Nazis threatened to exclude American movies. More than 250 played in Germany after Hitler took power in 1933, unless the studios cooperated. Before World War I, the German market had been the world's second largest, and even though it had shrunk during the Great Depression, the studios believed it would bounce back and worried that if they left, they would never be able to return. This left a lot to be desired. This desire. Remember what Paul tells Timothy? That for the love of money is the root of all evil. Some versions have it as for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. But you see how Paul's phrase, inventors of evil in Romans chapter 1, ties in directly to what he tells Timothy. Because in order to preserve that income, and maybe even the augmenting of it, people resort to all sorts of dirty tricks. And you'll see how many Hollywood execs did just that during the 1930s. And this all started with Universal Studios, that's right, Universal Pictures, 1930 release, All Quiet on the Western Front. Now, Hollywood regularly ran scripts and finished movies by German officials for approval, the article says. When they objected to scenes or dialogue they thought made Germany look bad, criticized the Nazis, or dwelled on the mistreatment of Jews, the studios would accommodate them. Look at this. They're hiding the truth from the public. In other words, the writers, the producers, the directors, the actors, many of them, they participated in these films because they wanted to showcase the horrors of Nazism. But yet, the studios, the heads, the bureaucrats were doing everything that they could in order to appease the desires of those that were doing the mass slaughter. Very interesting. And make cuts, it continues, in the American versions as well as those shown elsewhere in the world. So it wasn't just an issue where they were trying to indoctrinate Germans, the German audiences, but rather even American audiences. They were omitting the truth. Very interesting. Now, why this release, 1930, All Quiet on the Western Front? Well, on Friday, December 5th, 1930, a crowd of Nazis in Berlin seized on this unusual target, the Hollywood movie All Quiet on the Western Front. The article continues, recognized in most countries as a document of the horrors of the First World War, in Germany it was seen as a painful and offensive reenactment of the German defeat. Quote again, directly from the article. Check this out. The Nazis, who had recently increased their representation in the Reichstag from 12 to 100 seats, for those of you that don't know, the Reichstag was the parliamentary body of Germany up until 1933 when the Reich, the Third Reich, took over and officially eliminated the Reichstag, continues, took advantage of the national indignation toward All Quiet on the Western Front. They purchased about 300 tickets for the first public screening, and as they watched the German troops retreat from the French, they shouted, quote, German soldiers, had courage. It's a disgrace that such an insulting film was made in America, end quote. Because of the disruptions, the projectionist was forced to switch off the film. Nazi propagandist Joseph Goebbels, does anybody recognize that name? He was Hitler's minister of propaganda. He gave a speech from the front row of the balcony in which he claimed that the film was an attempt to destroy Germany's image. As if you guys didn't do that enough to yourselves. His comrades threw stink bombs and released mice into the crowd. Wow, these guys were Occupy Wall Street before Occupy Wall Street even took hold. Everyone rushed for the exits, and the theater was placed under guard. Now, this was met with popular approval, I'm paraphrasing here. And after six days, the highest censorship board in Germany convened to determine the fate of the film. After a long discussion, the chairman of the board issued a ban. Whereas the French soldiers were, they went to their deaths quietly and bravely, the German soldiers howled and shrieked with fear. And it continues. And so 6 days after the protests in Berlin, All Quiet on the Western Front was removed from screens in Germany. Goebbels' newspaper proclaimed, "Victory is ours. We have forced them to their knees." Here's where it gets interesting, ladies and gentlemen. The president of Universal Pictures, by the name of Karl Lamel, he was very troubled by this controversy. He being a German himself, he wanted the picture to be played in Germany. So he traveled to Europe promoting a newly edited version of the film. But why was he promoting this? Because he asked the Germans, "What is it that you want in order for us to appease your anger?" Well, of course, the Germans said, "We want all of these scenes that they are portraying us as evildoers gone from the film." And guess what? They acquiesced. Next thing you know, All Quiet on the Western Front had been edited, and all of those scenes were gone. But no, this was not just limited to Germany, ladies and gentlemen. When the picture was shown in El Salvador and Spain, the unedited version, that is, Germans made a stink about it also. Eventually, the company apologized. And afterward, there were no more complaints. Universal had acquiesced, and they played the movie with the edits. In other words, instead of showcasing to the world what the Nazis were made of, they did everything they could. They appeased the Nazis to silence the fact that these guys were bloodthirsty zealots. Literally. I mean, this is Hollywood's troubled past. And this, I'm just touching on the tip of the iceberg. I ask you to please read this article in its entirety. It's great. It's awesome. I'm hoping in the future to read the rest of it when it does debut, when it is published, and hopefully read more information, because this is just amazing. It showcases that Hollywood's propaganda machine has been active for more than we care to remember, for more than we care to admit. Many of us care to admit. Now, let me add a few more things that I think you'll find interesting. There was another trio that they tried to do everything that they could in order to appease German sentiments and to appease the Nazi party, were 20th Century Fox, MGM, and Paramount. They were also producing films that the Germans were closely scrutinizing, and they were also threatened with total prohibitions to showcase their movies in Germany. There was an individual by the name of George Geisling, who had been a Nazi since 1931. He became the German consul in Los Angeles in 1913, and it's important for us to know this. He tried to invoke on many occasions Article 15, which is a piece of legislation that was passed in Germany. And according to this law, Any company that distributed any anti-German picture anywhere around the world would be subject to prohibition from being played in Germany, a total ban. And this man tried to do this with every single film that came out of Hollywood that portrayed Nazis for who they were. Blood-sucking bandits. Evildoers. People who killed just because they took their jollies in killing people. And of course, their Aryan ideology, which Hitler espoused. I'm telling you, this is some nasty stuff. Read the entire article. You'll find it very, very interesting. And last but not least, this is one of the things that I found totally abhorrent. In 1937, Paramount chose a new manager for its German branch, Paul Thiefes, a member of the Nazi Party. With a name like that. The head of MGM in Germany, Fritz Strangholt, divorced his Jewish wife at the request of the propaganda ministry. One wonders if Joseph Goebbels had direct influence in this decision, probably. She ended up in a concentration camp. Please explain to me, how is it that these American companies knew that these things were going on and they submitted themselves to this, being American? Because at the end of the day, for all intents and purposes, the truth is these people are money hungry. They have a love of money. And they submit themselves to things that are evil, that would damage others, that would bring about destruction, pain, suffering. This is where I have issues when people say to me, why does God allow these things to happen to good people? No, I ask a different question. Why is it that people allow bad things to happen to good people? That's the question. Because God gives us all free will. We're all free to choose, make decisions according to our free will. But the truth is, man has direct influence over man, and many of these men made decisions that directly affected other innocent human beings. Louis B. Mayer, we've spoken about him before on this podcast. Louis B. Mayer, one of the owners / founders of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. This man constantly met with George Geisling. Remember him? The Nazi from 1931, German consul in Los Angeles? So that the movies that came out of MGM that would portray the Nazis for who they were, that way Mayer would appease and say, no, we need to cut this out. Because this is not going to be a nicety for our German audience. Man, I'm telling you, when people say they try to blame God, I get automatically offended. And I say, no, blame human beings. To end, I will read the last paragraph of this particular article. A great work. But at this point, MGM, 20th Century Fox, they had produced other films, especially in the 40s, where it was directly anti-Nazi. And from this point on, the Nazis banned the American film industry from Germany for a very, very, very long time. Now, quote, in the year that followed, the studios released only a handful of anti-Nazi movies because of another very different political force, the American isolationists. The isolationists accused Hollywood of making propaganda designed to draw the United States into the European war. And in the fall of 1941, Congress investigated this charge in a series of hearings. The most dramatic moment came when the head of 20th Century Fox, Darrell F. Zanuck, gave a rousing defense of Hollywood. Quote, I look back and recall pictures so strong and powerful that they sold the American way of life, not only to America, but to the entire world. They sold it so strongly that when dictators took over Italy and Germany, what did Hitler and his flunky Mussolini do? The first thing they did was to ban our pictures, throw us out. They wanted no part of the American way of life, end quote. The article finishes by saying, in the thunderous applause that followed, no one pointed out that Zanuck's own studio had been doing business with the Nazis just the previous year. We need to be careful with these people that make grand promises, many of these corporate heads and organizations, that they are promoters of that which is lascivious, that which is evil, that which is perverse. And I dare say there are people that say, I don't believe in boycotts. Well, guess what? It's my money. It's your money. And you should be able to choose and discern who you are going to give your money to. And if that company, if that person that represents that industry or whatever the case may be, that entity, does not represent your values, I would suggest that it would be better for you to employ your capital, your resource elsewhere, so that you might know, you have your conscience, if you will, would be understanding that you are not providing for these corruptors of evil. Of course, this can't be the way in every single situation, because there are certain items that we do need, and I understand all of that. I understand all of that. But the truth is, there are certain things that we can be very selective and choosy with, and we should do that with all of those things in our lives, and make sure that even when it doesn't come down to capital, just resources put aside, rather, when it just comes down to our attention, whatever time we give them, we should simply hold it back. Because that's what they crave, because that's how they get money. So that's all the time I have left for this edition. I thank you for downloading this podcast. I thank you for giving us your time. Please share this podcast with your friends, with your family members, with everyone else, so that they too may know the truth in a world full of uncertainty. My email address is jio@lwym.org. Drop me a line, ask me a question. I would be glad to answer it. Until the next edition of Absolute Truth Absolutely, this has been your host, Gio, saying goodbye, and may the Lord shine his face upon you.